Alrighty, Alex. So thank you so much for agreeing to have this interview with us. So I think my first question for you is, what is currently on your playlist?
Oh wow. Y'all be hitting me with these like music questions. So right now I am listening to The Clips
Okay.
new project. It's their first album, what, in like 14, 15 years or something like that. And everybody's listening to that right now. So that's definitely on my playlist. Larry June just released an album as well with Carto Got Wings. So like I'm not gonna lie, like that's definitely a guilty pleasure. You know what I'm saying? So Larry June is definitely heavy on it as well. On the jazz side, I'm really into Matthew Hussle as well. He has that 2009 album called Color Yes that I've been really vibing with. One of my favorite albums or musicians of all times is Miles Davis. And I'm really into modal jazz as well. So I've been listening a lot to Matthew's work as well. I also drum within the Afro-Cuban tradition. So I listen to Munakuitos de Matanzas a lot as well. What else is on my playlist? Without looking at my Spotify, because normally we all go for our phone. So this is straight off the top, you know. Alice Coltrane is definitely someone that is a go-to for me as well. So yeah, those are some that are high on my playlist right now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I want to know with currently what you're listening to, because it's definitely a little bit of old, a little bit of new. Where do you kind of see hip hop specifically placing right now in this current context, right? Where we have a lot of Amapiano on the rise, we have Afrobeat. Is there still a place for hip hop? Is hip hop still relevant? Be honest and don't be biased.
Absolutely. So this is the thing about hip hop. Like when you hear the name hip hop, hip means to be current. You know, hop means motion. Hip hop is going to always be relevant. That's what's great about it. Out of like all musical genres, hip hop has been able to stay relevant for 40, 50 plus years as well. Now there are great shifts, and again, hip hop to me is more of a culture, so more of like a, it's like an upgrading of like your software. That's the way to like frame it. Like it's not even like about like musical genres, because again, we tend to think of it as musical genres, but boom, straight like that. Like turn of the century, 1800s, jazz was the program, quote unquote jazz. And you gotta think about it, like jazz is like an instrumental music. Like later on came the vocals and all that. In an oppressive society in which black people are subjugated to atrocities that are unspeakable, you get what I'm saying? To be able to use your instrument to reference that pain, that's what jazz is. Couldn't necessarily say it out, couldn't actually vocalize it. But over time, through the civil rights movement, through the Civil Rights Act, XYZ, hip hop and rap music came out about a time where, again, per our ancestors making the strides that they were, can now vocalize it. And it was at a time that was before the internet. We're using technology that we had. Turntable. A lot of people don't even really realize this. Turntables, this is the genius of the culture. Turntables were not meant to be an instrument. Turntables were supposed to just play music. It wasn't supposed to make music. That's a huge difference. We were able to transform something that was not supposed to be an instrument and make it an instrument and create a $1 billion industry with mixers, turntables, all of these other things, because we were able to take and look at something completely different. That is like a programming state of mind. That's an innovation state of mind as well. So that being said, when we think about hip hop and its relevancy to bring everything back around, it's always going to be, we're upgrading the program right now because we're living in a post, I would argue a post social media landscape.
Okay.
Because social media transformed everything and how we connect and how we also imbibe music.
Okay.
For example, like this. You have vinyl records. When I was coming up, I'm a little bit older than y'all.
I was about to say, we're millennials, so it might be a little different.
Yeah, no, it's all good. And this is what we're talking about. Like this is a change of like mindset. But coming up, there was a such thing as like the hip hop underground when I was coming up.
Mm.
And there's a term called like backpackers. You ever heard the term backpackers before?
Yeah, I think you explained it to
me. Yeah, exactly. Like, so backpackers, like Kanye West, when he first came out, was like a backpack rapper. Backpackers came about on college campuses because people used to literally put tapes or have like gear in their backpacks, rhyme books, all these like artifacts of like hip hop culture. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they used to trade these things because these things were hard to come by. So there was like a sense of like appreciation for the things that you got and the music that you got. So like if you had a tape, you didn't want to lose it because if you lose that one copy, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now there isn't that much of an appreciation because everything is free, accessible, and available.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore the relationship to the music and the culture changes. Because when I was coming up, we had to actually go out and like search for it. And there was little things that we could be able, signs that we could see. I mean, prime example of this, like, so hip hop is a, quote unquote, there's five elements of it. So whole culture, one of the elements of hip hop is graffiti. Like being a hip hop head, like you can go into any city and be able to read the graffiti and be able to see the signs that are around you. Again, program language. When we're talking about physical spaces, that's how we operate. We were able to like circumvent the status quo in a sense by creating language and customs and culture around it. But now we're living in a society that no longer engages in those rules. And plus that programming has now been found out by the powers to be, to say the least. Does that make sense?
It does, it really does. And there's also something very important that you mentioned about underground hip hop, and just in this current age, what is happening to the movement of underground hip hop? Is it still as popular?
Yeah, so nothing's underground anymore because everybody has a platform.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is the thing about it. Like in the past, there was a there was a lack in the past, whereas now there's a surplus. So what I mean by that is that we're getting drowned out because we have too much.
Mm.
So equal can be bad when you have famine. Or you have too much. If you eat too much, you're gluttonous. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then you die of diabetes, and you die of this and that. Whereas if you don't have anything, then you die of starvation.
Mm-hmm.
But both can be bad. So it's like we really have shifted. You know, when there was more of a lack, not arguing for like a lack, but what I think is important is to essentially have community around the music and a community that supports one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very important. Whereas now, if everybody is an artist and everybody's pushing things out, then it can just become it becomes overpopulated. You get what I'm saying? There's too much. There's an abundance, and there's a lack of perceived value anymore. So when you talk about the underground, there's just a different mindset. But again, I don't have the answers. I'm an old head at this point. You get what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that we should go back to that or go back to the radio. What I'm saying is that the source code is updating. So when you were talking about hip-hop, so hip-hop will always be relevant, but it's going to change it to something else because the next generation has a new set of parameters that they must operate under and inside, because everything I just described, that's of an antiquated world. So I'm not arguing for that, but in a world where any and everything is available at all times, how do you make something valuable?
Mm-hmm.
Where does value exist? I don't have the answers. But I'm interested in seeing, you know, who does, and also see how that comes about. Because at the end of the day, humans need connection. Humans need community as well. And that's essentially one of the great aspects of like music, is to be able to provide that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Alex. And a lot of the stuff you're also mentioning, especially about community, how do you think young people should be thinking about creating community? Because one of the biggest things that I enjoyed about Soulful Cypher was this community that you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
You come in here, everyone's supportive, everyone's happy, but also in within often the hip hop narrative is often a certain language and everything, but when we came here, the language was good, it was clean. And so how do you create that community that's positive, supportive, and healing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not to me to tell what people quote unquote should or should not do. What I can recommend is definitely stand by values. Establish your values of your community ahead of time. For example, Soul Food Cypher is built around three core values, and that's respect, responsibility, and knowledge.
Nice.
And that is a framework in which we operate. We respect one another. So a lot of times when people think of like freestyle rap and they think of hip hop culture, they usually think of like confrontation.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's battles that first come to mind. Yeah. People think of 8 Mile. But what we do with Soul Food Cypher, again, we stand by respect. We don't battle. We're actually the antithesis of that. The whole purpose of a cypher is to keep the energy going.
Nice.
And plus we're in a circle. So we are actually modeling in real time our core values. And our core values also give us a light. Also, responsibility. That's a very, very important aspect of everything that we do, because MCs have a responsibility to back up the words that they say.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they have a responsibility to the community because they represent the communities that they come from as well. So we take that responsibility aspect very, very, very much to heart. So much so, like if MCs are stepping out of line, we gotta let them know. You get what I'm saying? As well. So, and of course the knowledge aspect is very important. You know, we want to ensure that we're passing on this torch and carrying this torch to the next generation, and for them to know, you know, who came forth, and also ensuring that we honor those that came before us as well. So that's very, very important. And that's how communities survive, is by having those values, but then also knowledge of what it is that they're doing, who came before them, et cetera, et cetera. So pay respect to your elders, you know what I mean? Pay it forward to the next generation and pass that knowledge to the next generation as well. So those are the core values that we establish. And of course, you know, different communities will have different core values, but that is number one, number uno. Also have a mission statement as well, to be able to always go back to that mission statement, and then also a vision statement as well. You know, ours is change the rap on rap.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back again to respect.
Yeah.
It goes back to, you know, responsibility as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Something really interesting that you mentioned about the responsibility that we have to our community is, as we were doing research, looking up, you know, about Soul Food Cypher, we noticed a very interesting article about how Soul Food Cypher kept community during the COVID-19 pandemic. And can you just walk us through that? And what did that mean for the community? What kind of measures did you have to implement in place to keep the community united, keep people uplifted?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think back 5 years, can you believe it's 5 years?
Yeah. It feels like it was just yesterday for me.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, it felt like those 5 years were like 10 years, like within itself.
Yeah.
You know, so I think our relationship with time has definitely transformed as well. But Soul Food Cypher has held ciphers consistently. Since 2012. And when the pandemic hit, it had disproportionately affected people within our community, especially the Black community, whether health or as service workers as well.
Yeah.
And we were used to getting together every fourth Sunday. And we realized that for so many of our community, this was a grounding event. It kept them grounded in their life and their perspective and in relationships and all those things.
Yeah.
So we started to explore and think, how can we be able to continue the cypher, but online?
Yeah.
So it took a lot of trial and error. I want to give a big shout out to my brother Mike Sick out there. Mike and I, like, we were trying different things, different platforms, Zooms, Google Meet, XYZ, but we were able to reduce latency within our stream so that the MCs could be able to rap on beat. Of course, there's still some lag there,
yeah,
but even with it, we didn't care. I think like we started to develop new flows based on the latency, you know? And she's Katami, just a little bit different. But that's the nature of our creativity. Mm. That's the nature of our resilience as well. And we not only did a cipher every month, we actually started to do ciphers twice a week. So we ended up increasing our programming during the pandemic to ensure that people were rooted. We also had people join us from Africa. Yes. I think it was Kenya that they joined us from. Shout out to Kenya. We also had MCs from Canada join us as well. Mm-hmm. So like, if anything, we brought in like more people from around the globe to come freestyle with us. Mm-hmm. So we were able to provide that consistency, you know, through COVID. And when we came back, it just made it so much sweeter.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Congratulations on that. I think it takes a lot to keep a community together, given what we were going through with COVID, given the connectivity lags. That takes a lot. So a big congratulations for that. I think I want to understand that from that, because you mentioned the word resilience. Yeah. What is, as us here on the Mandela Washington Fellowship, yeah, as young leaders, what should resilience be looking like for us in this current global moment?
Yeah. What do you love most?
Oh, that's such a difficult question. Mm-hmm. Politics, international relations, music, art.
Yeah. Resilience is ensuring that what you love most survives. Mm. And for me, it's community. Mm. I'm a son of Atlanta, born and raised in Atlanta. We have a very unique culture. And it's in danger of disappearing.
Yeah.
If I'm just going to be completely honest. You know, we tend to think that what we had growing up will always be.
Yeah.
Or be respected. But there's always been erasure, you know, in all customs and cultures as well. But, and that's what's so like scary about it, especially when we talk about like, for example, you're saying, is hip hop going to be relevant? Mm-hmm. Like real talk, like hip hop made our current world.
Yeah.
But there's an erasure that happens with history and even rock and roll. Like a lot of times people think, to be quite frankly, white people made rock and roll.
Yeah.
They think Elvis made rock and roll. That can be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck Berry. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? You had Little Richard. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. There's so much that's involved. As a matter of fact, if you really want to be real, queer culture is a big part of rock and roll and its foundation. Mm. You get what I'm saying? But that has been erased. So with this in mind, resilience is ensuring that, again, going back to knowledge, like the history isn't erased, and that soul, that spirit can continue to the next generation as well. And also not be completely wiped away. A large part of what I believe, a large part of what we do is creative place keeping.
Okay.
A lot of times within, you know, the grant space and nonprofit space, we talk about creative place making. It's, you know, going to a space and adding the arts and bringing creative culture to make a space so that it becomes more viable, you know, economically and X, Y, Z, all these things. For me, what we're doing is creative place keeping. Mm-hmm. We're keeping the culture here. We're keeping the voices, the names of the MCs, and that energy that made it what it is. And Atlanta is a intersection city. It's a railroad city. We have the world's busiest airport.
Yeah.
So we're used to having people come in from all different backgrounds and adding their own flavor. But with gentrification, the cost of living, inflation, all those things, it's driving those that made Atlanta and put Atlanta on the map out of the city.
Yeah.
So it's losing its flavor as well. And that has many destructive possibilities. But also just think of us as like as a black people, like we have longly been nomadic. Mm. And we're always in search of a place. You know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like our culture, our customs, our music, it creates home. Like when we get together in a circle, it don't matter what your living situation is, but you found your home.
Yeah.
And for so many of our MCs, they need a home. There's so many things that divide us. There's so many things that push us away just in our day to day. Resilience is us coming together, creating a sense of home and enough inspiration to make it through another day, another week, another year, and surviving. So what we're doing is place keeping, and it's resilience for our way of being, our way of life, our existence and our culture. That is resilience.
Thank you so much for that, Alex. And you know, just as you were speaking, I was thinking about the idea of change, because you keep mentioning change, and I just want to get your thoughts around the idea of change, specifically with the rise of artificial intelligence. What does that mean for hip-hop, for Soul Food Cypher also, right? Because we're seeing people being able to mimic rappers' voices, and now I can just say, oh, Alex was rapping ABCD, but you didn't actually rap that. Yeah. Like, how should we be safeguarding this rap culture?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of the day, AI is a tool. Mm. And just like a gun can be used to hunt, to provide food. But a gun can also be used to kill someone else as well. So it's all in how we use it as well. It's also, and let's be specific, because there's all different types of AI.
Yes.
Let's be specific and say large language models. So large language models are only as good as the data set that they're training on as well. And they don't necessarily create anything new. They use what has been in the past to be able to predict what you think it wants you to provide as well. Yeah. So it's a great tool, and I think it is, can be beneficial for the creative process, and I think that it can also be beneficial as well from a production side. It streamlines things. Now there is some dangers, and again, this is not necessarily because of AI inherently by itself. It's by who's using it. So for example, there's been this thing called digital blackface that has come about. Have you heard of digital blackface?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Yeah. So essentially, it could be, let's just, you know, call it what it is, like creators from different racial backgrounds acting or interacting as another race as well. And that's problematic for so many reasons as well. So it is important to put safeguards in place.
Yes.
And also have like understanding and respect again and knowledge about like what is going on. But overall, I think if we are resilient enough and put those safeguards in place, policies are very important. AI policies, every organization needs to have one. Record labels needs to have them. Also, our social media platforms need to have them as well. We can't have people masquerading and, as we used to say back in the day, perpetrating a fraud out here pretending to be people that are not as well. But going back to more of the creative side of things, I'm not worried about this. Like, I'm not worried about AI. Like, I'm not worried about, again, it's like, it's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, like if your mindset is like rap or hip hop is just like the music, then it's just like, oh yeah, someone can make that. But you know what it doesn't have? It ain't got soul.
That's very true.
It don't have soul. And that's the thing about like the human experience is like, we can tell soul. We can tell experience. Like that is something that's like within it, something that's intangible. Is that soul? Is that human element? Yes, something can bop and it can make you dance, you know what I'm saying, maybe one time or like, okay, you know, this is cool, but it's missing something that sticks with you, that stick-wittedness, you know? And that's, a prompt isn't going to bring that. Now, somebody behind a prompt that has a soul and that's trying to push something through, yeah, they can use AI to get that or to push that, but it's not going to replace the creative humans. It's a soul, but it's not going to completely take away like hip hop culture or art artists as well. Yes, things are going to have to change. And again, the program language is going to have to change. But that's what's unique about like, again, Africans and black people. Going back to the turntable. The turntable was not supposed to be an instrument, but we take something that is there and make it something completely different. For example, even the sampler. Like when they made samplers back in the day, it wasn't with hip hop in mind. Mm-hmm. But now, like, yo, Dilla created a whole new time signature that's only possible by utilizing the sampler. Mm-hmm. It's changed the way that drummers drum now by the use of a sampler. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's nothing that's going to be in a package. So, like, yes, record companies think that they can make AI artists nowadays. And, yes, you know, it's weird. And it's also, like, it kind of also shows you, like, the frameworks in which, like, society is, like, built around. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like, pay attention to, like, how they make those artists appear, how they make them sound, what voices they use, ambiguity, and all those things like that. Like, it just kind of shows you, like, agendas as well, and also, like, it shows you, like, how this world is being framed and, like, structured. And again, that narrative, when I was talking about creative placekeeping, it's important that we keep the narrative true, and that's where the knowledge comes in as well. And that erasure, that's very important, because we have to have ways to ensure the next generation knows what's going on. And we can't over-rely on AI. We can't over-rely on the internet. There has to be another way to do it.
Thank you, Alex, for that. And on the topic of next generation, how do we continue to build the bridge between African Americans and Africans back home, just for cross-collaboration, for us to understand and respect one another, and just to integrate our cultures? How should we continue to do that?
Yeah, open communication. And I think focusing on how more similar we are than we are different. I think that's very, very, very important. We live in a time in which everything is divisive. Everything is divided, and it's always us versus them as well. But again, I take more of a pan-African mindset in my worldview as well. I see you as my sister. Like, I don't like, when I see you, like, I don't even think, oh, yeah, like, South African. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not thinking that. You know, I'm just thinking, like, you're my sister. So I think approaching this and also just realizing and seeing, A, the human in one another, each other. You know what I'm saying? I think that's very important. Being open to each other's, like, customs and cultures as well. And overall, I think it's going to be essential that we visit one another.
Yes.
I think that's why I appreciate the Mandela Fellows Program. That I've had the opportunity to meet so many people from so many different countries over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been working with the Mandela Fellows and welcoming you all to Atlanta. You know, I'm thankful for programs like this. And, you know, I hope to be able to one day come to the continent as well.
You're welcome, more than welcome.
Yeah. And, like, again, ciphers. Let's talk about ciphers. I think ciphers are, like, the perfect space and place to actually model that, because in a cipher, everybody's in a circle and everybody's eye level with one another. So there's no hierarchies. I think a lot of times when we're dealing with people from other areas, it can be with a hierarchy in mind. You know, somebody, you know, having power or you know, resources over another. But when we're in a cipher, there's no hierarchy. Everybody is equal. Everybody has the same access. And everybody can listen to one another attentively. So I think we need more ciphers. I think we need to have ciphers of people from different countries, different backgrounds, different opinions as well. But ciphers that are rooted in respect, you know what I'm saying, and knowledge, where we can be able to transfer knowledge, and we just do so in a responsible way. Again, our core values. So that's what I think, you know, looking into the future, African-Americans and Africans to connect, we need to have cultural connection. I think a cipher is a great way to do so, and I look forward to possibly bringing a cipher to Africa.
And I think just to piggyback on Dimitri's question about you bringing the cipher to Africa, I guess all of us together in collaboration. How would you advise people to actually prepare for a cipher? Because I'm not gonna lie, when I was here, I was like, how is everybody doing it? Like, how are words just appearing on screen and then you just know what to say? Like, how would you advise someone to prepare for a cipher?
Yeah, so A, don't prepare for a cipher.
Okay.
Yeah, you just come as yourself. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I appreciated, there was a round that you all did where you gave the mic to all the different fellows. And somebody started doing like a call and response.
Yes.
You know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's like the African in us. Like, the call and response, that comes from Africa. You know what I mean? And that's something that has stayed with us. So it's like y'all are speaking the same language as us. So I know there was a question earlier about, you know, what we want to see like in a cipher, let's say in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, those are the things that's like get me excited. It's just like beyond like just like even the music. I mean, I love the music, but like how we communicate with one another and like what has, you know, survived. Mm. And to me, that's really where it all is. Mm. So I'm sorry. Remind me with the question one more time.
How to prepare for a cipher?
You don't prepare for
and
prepare for a
cipher. And think about it as a super shy person like me. And what am I gonna get there and say? I don't rap, but
No, it's all good. So it's another thing too. Like, you don't have to rap if you don't want to rap. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, today, like, if I'm like in a situation, there's music playing, like I will rap, or like if I feel like it. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to rap in a cipher if you don't want to. Mm. You know what adds to the cipher? And this is like the nuances. I love this about like the cipher. It's like I go back and I listen to the videos and stuff. What's really dope about the cipher is not always just the person that's like rapping, but it's the crowd's response.
Okay, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So like every now and then, like someone could just be rapping and then like you'll hear somebody just make like this grunt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, what made that person make that grunt? But now it's like baked into like the song now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a producer as well, and like we make songs and like using sampler technology, like you don't really know what you got like with the sample until like you chopping it. And like with those chops, especially live musicians or if they're like in the studio, even live stuff, like there's little sounds that like pop up. And when you loop it, like those sounds come back and it's just like, that's the flavor.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's kind of like when you're cooking. This is a weird example, but it's the truth. It's like when you're cooking and you get done cooking, it's just like you still got like the sauce in the pan. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the flavor is. So like you like dip the bread in that or whatever. And it's just like, that's what the cipher is. So like with you, boom, you don't have to prepare. It's just your spirit being in a cipher. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're in a cipher and you're like locked in with other people and you laugh when they say something, like your laugh is adding to the texture of the cipher. Just you being there. And that's what I really want to like get the point across. Like the cipher is community. Yeah. That AI stuff, when you're talking about AI, that's like void of community. Mm. Because boom, like there's a place for it, right? But AI, for example, if you just made like an AI song, you didn't have to hire studio musicians. You get what I'm saying? You didn't have to hire an engineer. There's community. There is value in building that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, you just saved a whole bunch of money, but the product isn't there because it's more than just you. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's so much that goes into it. So the cipher is like actually like experiencing culture in real time. It's real time.
Okay, Alex, so can you please tell us what are you currently reading and what books would you recommend for young people to read?
Yeah, one of the books I'm going to start off with is a financial book. Something very important for young people to definitely know. Again, unfortunately, a lot of people, especially within the Black community, have a scarcity mindset. So a book that I recommend to get out of that mindset and to get into an abundant mindset is by the brothers over at Earn Your Leisure, and You Deserve to Be Rich.
Okay.
It's a great book. Sets the foundation for a healthy financial life.
Okay.
Another book that I'm currently reading right now, and this is someone that I personally know and someone who actually really influenced my understanding of hip hop and rap culture, and that is Dr. Regina Bradley. She has a book called Chronicling Stankonia.
Okay.
And when we were starting Soul Food Cypher, she was doing workshops over at Wonder Root, and she was the first person I ever heard speak about hip-hop culture having multiple genesis points.
Mm-hmm.
So she helped me understand and have an even deeper appreciation for being from the South, and also the work that we're doing with hip-hop culture in the South as well. So mm-hmm. highly recommend Chronicling Stankonia. And then the last book that I want to recommend, and this is a book that is my favorite book,
yes.
bar none. For those brave souls that are able to read it,
mm-hmm.
Because it is written in a prose that's different than what people are normally, you know, used to reading. But it's a brilliant book.
Okay.
And it's by Ishmael Reed, and it's called Mumbo Jumbo.
Okay.
It is definitely my favorite book of all time. But it really chronicles the power of Black music, and it frames African-American classical music, or what is called jazz music, as a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, I started reading that during the pandemic. But it's a virus for good,
mm-hmm.
something that can infect others.
Yeah.
But it's a good virus. It's kind of like there's multiple kind of bacterias. You know, you have bacteria that's good bacteria and bad bacteria as well,
yeah.
you know. But it's something that is organic, just like it. And that's what I really appreciate about like his books, is that he uses a lot of like references, metaphors, history to mm-hmm. frame and weave this very dense narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written very poetically as well. There's a lot of comedy written in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's a farce as well. It is very dense, but it is a very, very good book. And that's the book I would recommend. It's something that inspired George Clinton.
Okay.
That's someone who I definitely look up to, and he transformed music. So, again, the source code, man, like just understanding genius art when you see it. And shout out to Ishmael Reed and Mumble Jumble.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Alex, for that. I love how you went from finance, you know, to like culture, history. It really like means a lot in terms of what you're reading and you sharing that with us. And again, we just want to thank you so much for this interview. Thank you for what you're doing with Soul Food Cypher, what you're doing for the community and for the culture.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.